Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're going to start.
Go!
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IPA Livecast. Everybody here at the show just wants to take a moment to say, RIP, Trevor Sternad, our favorite guest ever. Rest in power. RIP Livecast starts now.
All right, welcome to the show. We have a very, very special guest sitting in here, an interdimensional guest, I would assume. We have John Goblikon of NecroGoblikon wearing his finest attire. You got all dressed up for us, John. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I'm actually at the office. You know, Brad makes me work weekends. The hustle never stops, guys.
I hear you. And we thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with us here at RIP Livecast. It's Rob here with Sid.
Hello.
In a few minutes. And we're here with John Goblikon. John, you're getting ready to get on the road. NecroGoblikon are going to be touring with their interplanetary friends in Gwar. Are you excited to have non-humans on the road?
Yeah, it's a match made in hell, you know? It really is. And I was doing another podcast yesterday, and Gwar surprised me on the cast. I didn't know that they have a troll in their band. And I don't know if you know this, but goblins and trolls, we don't exactly get along. But we squashed our beef right then and there on the air. So I'm now excited to tour with Gwar.
So there won't be any fights with the troll or anything like that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's tour. Anything can happen. So, no promises, but I'll say this. Of the trolls I have met, this one, he seems A-okay to me.
That's good. That's good.
You sound like famous last words. I don't know. Well, I think you're jinxing it by giving him the troll endorsement so early in the process.
You know what, Sid? I think you may be right. I may have overstepped my boundaries. We'll see, you know. You get a couple of, tequilas in me, a couple of margaritas. I'll fight anybody, you know.
I believe it. You look like a tough guy. You look like someone you don't want to mess with. You've been on the road before. What's it like for a goblin on the road? Is it hard, or have you gotten used to the life?
Yeah, well, you know, the band makes me sleep on top of the tour bus. Yeah. Yeah, I get it, though. You know, there's not enough bunk beds, you know. There's 12 bunks, and there's 9 guys on tour.
So
math checks out. So I sleep on top of the bus.
I mean, there's worse things. I heard Metallica made one of their bases sleep underneath the bus. So
you're not
subjected to that kind of treatment.
Wow. Metallica, man, they would do that. You know, they're probably going to sue you right now for just talking about them.
Hey, it only helped Napster when they did that. So
that's
bring
right.
It on.
That's right. I don't mind tour because, you know, I get to see places. I get to go to the Chili's across America and North America. And then, I get to meet the fans, play live shows, dance for the ladies and the fellas, and, it's not the worst. I mean, I'll say this. When you're in a tour bus with 9 dudes who basically live off Taco Bell all day, not the worst to be outside of the bus. That's all
I'll
say.
That's a great point.
You know?
Do you also live off Taco Bell? What's your menu
diet
like on tour?
Yeah, I'm on a strict diet of chili Southwestern egg rolls, and then just a liquid diet. You know what I mean? Tall boys, when I first wake up, then I switch to tequila because it's lower in fat.
Mm.
And then the other night's like, you know, back and forth, whiskey, tequila, whiskey, gin, you know. I keep myself fit.
Ready. You look in great shape.
Yeah, agile, you know.
Now, you mentioned the ladies.
I'm off my hump.
Well, your hump looks great. I can't really see it from this angle, but you look wonderful today.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'd say you're projecting a handsome Giuliani energy. That's what
you
I would
say.
You're welcome.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something about the ladies and the fellas. I'm curious, how does John Gomblicon swing sexually? Are you pansexual, bi, straight, or? I guess you're interspecies, right? Because you're a goblin.
Gob-sexual? Mm-hmm. You know, anything and everything is fair game. You know, to me, it's just about personality.
Oh.
You know, taste in food, music, that kind of thing, you know.
And we're not just talking about humans. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Do you do the apps? Are you on Tinder or Farmers Only or any of those?
Yeah, yep. I'm on them all, you know. Farmers Only, Christian Singles, you know. I haven't exactly had a lot of luck, you know.
No.
I got to, like, change my settings. Right now I have, like, age range 0 to 1,000. Mileage I have, you know, pretty much to the next galaxy, but I just keep swiping, and I don't know. I think the app's broke. You know, I got to talk to Zuckerberg or whoever's behind it because I'm not getting any matches.
Rob, do you have any advice?
I would say just be yourself on the apps as much as possible. Maybe show more torso. show off that physique.
Oh, okay, Rob. Yeah, a little more green.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, maybe on this tour, you know what I mean? Back in the bus, you know, snap a few special selfies and throw it on the old tinned, you know?
There you go. Show people you're on a bus, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
is that a good enticement if you're on a bus? You just show bus pictures, Rob? Does that work for you?
Yeah, you're a rock star, and you're only going to be in town for one day. So
that's right.
No strings.
Yeah, NSA, as the kids say. No strings attached. John, myself and Sid, and our fellow co-host Darren, we're all of the Jewish persuasion. And I'm curious, with the look that you have you ever been confused for a Jew? Or what is your take on religion in general?
With the look, are there a lot of green Jews? Is that what
depends who you ask?
Depends who you ask, but I meant more like the nose. You have a very Jewish nose, I would say.
Oh, thank you, thank you very much.
I think it's similar.
As far as organized religion goes, you know, I don't really dabble in the stuff. You know,
okay.
I guess like you could say I worship Necro Goblicon, you know?
Oh,
I think they're rock gods. So in a way, I pray to their rocking.
I like it. I want to mention, if there are any ladies, fellas, or humans or non-humans listening that want to talk to John, our phone lines are open right now, 213-WIDENUT, 213-943-3688. And you could also tweet us or hit us on social media at RIP Alivecast. That is, so we have some questions for John from our audience.
Great.
And one of them is from our former host, Noah. She asks, what would you rather bite into, a bat or a chicken tortilla?
Is the bat or the chicken tortilla from Chili's?
Mmm.
Maybe the tortilla, probably not the bat.
Yeah.
Tortilla. Oh, well, then a tortilla. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a tortilla. Especially if it's like coupled with a sizzling fajita. You know? Yo, man. what's a better sound, you know, than sitting at a Chili's table and all of a sudden you just hear like in the distance. You're like, oh, that's mine. That's mine, waiter. Bring it over here. I want it so hot, everyone else is going to finish their meal and it's still sizzling, you know.
Inside of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, burn your insides, you know.
That's what they're there for.
We have Darren back on the show.
Oh,
Darren,
hello.
Darren's our third co-host. Here we are with John Goblikon.
Hi, John.
Darren, do you have any questions for John?
Well, first I would like to say it's arguable whether I am the third host. I think that was a little bit of an unfair assessment. But that's neither here nor there.
Third
Hi,
co-host?
John.
I don't mean like you're the third.
Well, that sure sounded like that.
I'll take number two. You guys could fight over one and three. I'm good with second place.
Rob is number two. Hi, John. Let's not make it about me. I'm sorry about that. Nice
no, it's okay. I'm just going to say, you guys have almost as many co-hosts as NecroGobbleCon has band members. I mean, there's new ones popping up every 2 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll walk into practice and they'll be like, this guy's going to play triangle. I'm like, all right.
It's almost like a ska band.
Yeah, really,
yeah,
man.
A horn
like,
section.
How many guys do we need on tour? The answer is four less.
And then you get to be on the bus instead of sleeping on the roof.
I'm hoping, man. I mean, they even brought a photographer on tour before they let me sleep on the bus.
Jesus.
Like, this is obviously an art student. He doesn't even have a job. Like, let me sleep on the bus, man.
Could you drive the bus? Have you offered to drive? Because then you wouldn't be sleeping, but you'd at least be in the bus.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't have my commercial license.
Mm.
Technically, I don't have a driver's license. You know, I don't know if any of you guys are narcs.
No, we won't say anything. We won't snitch.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
okay,
Rob.
Non-snitch kind of podcast. I like that. I don't have a driver's license either, you know, but I would love to, I'd love to get one and I'd like to, you know, drive one of those bird scooters around, you know, like a little Italian man, you know, just waving to people just on my scooter. Just hello, ciao. Hello.
Just a guy on a fixed income, you know, scooting around town.
Catcalling women.
Working for some big tech startup, you know. It's like, we don't have desks. We just sit in bean bags, you know?
Yeah.
Are you on a bean bag right now?
I'd love a bean bag. I'm actually at the office right now.
Oh.
And Brad is in the other office. He has me working right up until I go up on tour because he was like, well, if you're going to be gone for a couple weeks, I guess we got to get you to finish a couple weeks worth of work, John.
Fucking typical Brad.
Yeah. Now, that comes another question from one of our listeners, Kyle. He wants to know who are your favorite and least favorite members of NecroGobblikon. Kyle said he wants to see a major dispute rise out of this and that there's not enough drama in the band.
Oh.
You want to get to the next level, you got to start hating each other's guts.
Well, here's the thing. Well, who's that from? Kyle?
Kyle, yes.
Okay, Kyle. I implore you to go on Wikipedia. And you'll see quite a laundry list of ex-NecroGobblikon members. Yeah. You're welcome. That's me.
Oh.
If I don't like them, they're out, you know. Yeah. They start going doodly, 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 do on the guitar, and they play one wrong doodly. Bye-bye. Next.
You got a one doodly tolerance policy.
That's it. One doodle in the wrong note. Goodbye. It's like, you know, like it's hard to find a dude with like a tattoo of sleeves that can't just come in and doodly, you know?
They're doodling all over town, even in their little scooters as they go around town.
I'm saying, man. I'm like, you know, so it's been drama, but Goblin don't play that, you know? I just go, this is a no-drama bus. Even if I'm on top, I'm still watching out for the... Honestly, my favorite members of NecroGobblikon are the ones that are currently in it. And honestly, it's hard to rank them. It really is. Obviously, Scorpion is the top and the best and my favorite and my best friend. But it would be so hard to rank them. You know, I would just have to go Scorpion, and then, you know, I forget the rest of their names, but, you know, I love them all. I really do. There's a guy whose name is, he plays bass. His name is Zoot. Walked around for like 2 months, called him Suit, you know? I thought he was just going to dress nice, but the guy never wears sleeves.
When did you put it together that you were calling this guy the wrong name the whole time?
Eventually, you know, so it was like, I think his name is Zoot. And I'm like, neither of us are saying a real name. You know?
Right.
Don't look at me like I'm the crazy one. Sorry, pal.
And John, you're so busy. You have your own talk show. You have John Goblikon's Guide to Living Your Best Life. Where do you find the time?
Oh, man, that's a great question. You know, I am quite the Renaissance goblin, you know. Well, the book was kind of, you know, that wasn't too hard because I just paid these two idiots to write it. And I was just like, write it about this. And they were like, oh, okay, you know. The talk show, though, you know, that's really become my passion. I really enjoy connecting with people and people who identify as celebrities, even though I've never heard of them, you know. But I enjoy the show. I enjoy doing that. So, you know, it's just like anything else, man. You know, you got to rise and grind. You know, I wake up every day and go, what else can I do? You know, I've been a world-renowned author. I'm on the Rhode Island Times worst sellers list, you know. I'm big. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Maybe like a chef, celebrity chef, or, you know, I really just want to get into influencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you have a big social media following?
It's okay. I'm trying to build it up, but I would love to just, like, you know, take pictures of myself and be like, oh, look at these new shoes, you know. You know,
and
like,
you get like
100
pairs of free shoes.
Yeah. You guys ever try water? You know, sometimes influencers are like, man, guys, look at this water. It's like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
All
right. Man, I'm trying this new thing out, breathing today. Breathe.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone breathe.
I will promote the hell out of taking a breath, you know. You pay me right? I'll be like, check it out. Look how I do it. But it's sexy, you know. So I honestly got to I'll do whatever. I'll hawk anything. You should see my Cameo account. People are like, hey, my morgue needs promoting. I'm like, great, get people. I'm John Goblikon, and I approve this message.
Well, you know, Cameo, the next step is like kind of like we were talking about earlier about torso pictures. Have you considered a John Goblikon OnlyFans or like an Only Goblins? I don't know.
Yeah, I've talked about it, you know. And I'm thinking about launching it. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to go on there, you know, but again, zero standards. So if there's money to be made, you know what I mean? Like green begets green, you know? So I'm just, my life is all about the green. You know, I can't help it. I'm predisposed to wanting to get the green. So if it's OnlyFans, you know, if it's becoming a TikTok star, you know, I'll dance. You know, I don't care.
Can you show us a move right now?
There we go.
Yeah, thank you. Giving it away for free. That's when you can give it away on TikTok and OnlyFans.
Oh, wait. I'm not getting paid for this?
Oh.
Yeah, no. We'll pay you after.
Oh, okay.
I want to mention one of your fans, NRG Pig, says they would subscribe to an Only Goblins and note that they're a huge fan and they ate their cat in your honor.
That is so sweet. That's one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me.
I mean, wow.
I see cats all the time. And I'm just like, why aren't more people eating you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like 50-50 on whether you'd find that a fitting tribute or
Sid,
Sid, is that for dessert?
I'll play your cards right. We'll see how the rest of the interview goes.
Okay, Sid. Okay.
Sid, would you say that there's any chance at the end of this interview you've been so won over by John that you'd eat your own cat in a tribute?
I don't think I would, but I might offer up to John. A little snack.
you know, we're about to go on tour. I got to get in my carbs. You know, I got a carb load.
Yeah.
Cats have a lot of carbs in their fur.
You eat the fur? You don't even, like, defur cats?
You like the natural.
Man. Wow.
Yeah. Do you peel the skin off a chicken wing? You don't know. No.
Fair point.
You pluck the feathers off.
Yeah. Yeah. Right through it.
Chaos Alien says, it's good to see Larry King back from the dead. This is great. I think that's a different person.
This is fighting words.
Two things. One, is Larry King dead?
Yeah.
I think technically.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Hey,
are we just breaking that news to you?
Hey, Jerry. Will you cancel my 3 o'clock with Larry King? All right.
Oh, well, glad we can free up your schedule.
One less interview. Yeah. One less interview, you know?
We can just simulate and just be like, Skokie, Illinois, day. You're on the air.
Yeah. Big press day just got a little shorter.
That's good. Well, John, before we let you go, we were kind of hoping you could sit in as we look at some of the headlines.
Or
the big stories of the last few weeks. So one thing we wanted to discuss was there was this video that Megadeth, they're a thrash metal band. Perhaps Snickle Gobblecon played with them at one point.
I know Megadeth. Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's good. Well, so they're on the road now. They beat you guys to the road. And there's this video here of Dave Mustaine in the crowd. He's sneaking around. It's very loud. I guess I can only mute it.
That's fine.
Now, when you say crowd, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm looking here. This is a gathering.
Right. I guess doors may have just opened at the venue, giving him the benefit of the doubt, but there certainly seems to be a lot of empty seats.
Yeah, that looks like a high school theater production, you know, that's about to start. Like, there's like just 10 kids there and a baby. Oh, look at that.
And so he's giving out pics to kids in the crowd. That's nice, though. But is it nice or is it creepy? Is it a little weird? How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, first off, he's moving like a robot. Why isn't he just acting like a normal human right now? Not sure.
He's incognito. That's how... If he acted like a human, people would recognize him.
Why is he dressed like the 67-year-old version of the girl from The Ring is what I want. That's what I got when I first looked at him.
And
he's going to come through the screen right now.
And let's be real. Dave Mustaine could stand in line at Starbucks and no one would be like, oh, my God, it's Dave. Like,
sure.
It's not exactly like, you know, the most recognizable person. He doesn't need to wear a hoodie.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But even more so, like he, even people who do know Dave Mustaine might not recognize him at this point.
It's pretty clear from that video that people weren't exactly flooding the gates to get in. I think he has a better shot of just going and busking on the street to get some more butts in those seats. You know, get out of the venue, man. You got to get people in the venue. You know, that's what I do.
You do a little busking to get people into a Necro Comic-Con show?
Oh, yeah. I've done it before. You know, just right on the street. Just, you know, tell people like, hey, you guys like Goblin Metal? You know, and they're like, what's Goblin Metal? And I'm like, we're still figuring it out, but come check out our show, you know?
So your advice for Dave Mustaine to live his best life is to start at the bottom and then gain an interest and a following and then do shows.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, too familiar with Megadeth, but, you know, my advice to them is they'll get there, you know. We all play small shows for, like, you know, 20 to 30 people in just, you know, one-tenth of an arena, which is what it looked like. You know, hey, man, we used to open for Limp Bizkit, you know. Mm. I get it, you know. I know what it's like to be around a band that's trying to make it. You know?
Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, here, Megadeth is in the, here's this other show that Megadeth did, and it looks like there's a few more people in the crowd at this one. In fact, there was security that was a little too handsy, and Dave Mustaine was not happy about it. Now let's play this clip.
Hey, this is security dude. You, there. Stop interfering with our show.
Okay. Talking to the guy like it's his dog.
You, stop. Heel. Sit out.
I mean, look, he's having fun. Cool it. Oh, after you've been taken out of the pit. You understand me? Don't do it again.
Don't do it again. Now, how do you feel about that? Have you ever been at a show where security was a little too handsy, John?
I got to be honest. I've never been to a show with security. And that made me speak more about the kind of places we've been playing. Or that could just be a thing that we're just like, we don't need it, you know? So I'd say to Mr. Mustank is, okay, hot shot, play your next show without him, you know? Just say, I don't want him. And then when Will Smith jumps on the stage, he's going to be like, uh-oh, wish I had security, about to get slapped.
That's why you can't book Wicked Wisdom opening for Megadeth. It's just a bad idea.
Is that what happened?
That's why Will Smith was there to smack Dave Mustaine.
Oh. Yeah, I see. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, I understand security, you know. We've played places that did have an announcement being like, no crowd surfing, no mosh pits allowed at this venue. Mm-hmm. And I've taken upon myself to immediately break those rules the second we start playing. So, in a way, I'm like security and the anti-security at the same time.
I see. Well, that's good to know. And also that it kind of like breaks the ice. Now everyone else is kind of like, oh, it's chill. John did a little stage time. We're all right.
Yeah. You know, if they see me doing it, they're like, all right. If the cops come, they're going to get John first, for sure.
Have you been arrested at a show before?
Not that I remember. You know, I've been told, though, I've gotten a little wild, but, you know, when in Rome, and, I mean, the show we played in Rome, you know, I got a little too drunk, a little too much wine.
Hmm. Oh, well, NRG Pig.
Energy
Pig, I burst my left eardrum at the Necrogoblicon Psychostic Show at the Brick by Brick in San Diego. Your causes
impending?
Well, that was a hell of a show, you know. So if your eardrum was going to go, you know, that was the one for it to go. You know, I always tell people, like, when you leave a Necrogoblicon show, if you hear nothing else for the rest of your life, you're going to be fully satisfied. So this guy just took it a little too literal, but I like his style. I do. You know, that's pretty metal.
I agree. And plenty of eardrums can be busted in the next month or two, because Necrogoblicon is going to be back on the road with Gua.
Oh, Rob, that was a hell of a transition. I really liked that.
Thank you. And the tour starts today.
Host to host. That was smooth.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I can give you some tips later on when we're off the air if you want. I have some experience. Or was that a little too passive aggressive? I'm sorry.
No.
All right. Let's get back to the headlines. Machine Gun Kelly announced he's done with rock. Oh, no.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know he started.
He put out a punk rock album last year.
Did he?
And allegedly.
Is that what we're calling it?
In quotes.
Well, Travis Barker produced it, so that's why
it's
technically a punk rock album.
Okay.
But he noted that now he is done with rock. He's going to make a rap album for himself for no other reason, no point to prove, no chip on my shoulder.
if I keep doing things to prove things to people, I'm going to, one, drive myself crazy, and two, not make a good product. It's always good when you refer to your music as product, I think.
Is this guy an influencer?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, feels like it.
He influenced me to stop listening to music.
Probably a good choice.
Honestly, I'm not familiar with Machine Gun Kelly, but after getting a look at him just now, he looks like your friend's son, you know, who they just like took to dinner with you, and they're like, hey, this is Caden. He's going through a phase. You know, just be nice to him, you know.
He definitely looks like a Caden.
I don't know why he keeps dyeing his hair. I don't know how to relate to him, you know. And then he's like, I'm going to put out a rap album. And you're like, okay, what's your name? And he's like, Kelly. I mean, Machine Gun Kelly. And you're like, all right, kid, eat your potatoes.
You know, you're pretty close here, John. His real name is Colson Baker.
I do it, man. I don't know Machine Gun Kelly's story, but something tells me Colson isn't exactly from the streets, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Cleveland.
Do they have streets?
All right, well, Cleveland? I like Cleveland a lot. You know, I just don't know much about Machine Gun Kelly, and I think Machine Gun Kelly doesn't know much about rock. So that's, you know. Yeah. So sad to see you go. No, do another rock album. Said nobody, you know, probably.
And one more headline, and then we can let you go back into your cave or whatever. Ted Nugent offers unsolicited advice to bands like Megadeth and Metallica. And I don't know, are you a fan of Ted Nugent, John?
It looks like, I thought that was Jimmy Buffett. That's Ted Nugent? Oh, man.
That's what he looks like now.
I thought it was the Jeff Daniels, the Dumb and Dumber, not Jim Carrey guy.
He looks like Gary Busey playing Jimmy Buffett.
And so, what is he, a sheriff? What is that hat that he's wearing? Was he deputized?
I mean, I'll say this. Kudos to the writer here who like went with the all caps unsolicited. I mean, that's a troll move, but I liked it. I do like it.
Yeah. I mean, any advice Ted Nugent ever gives is unsolicited.
Yeah.
No one wants
What is the advice? I got to know.
So here we go. He says, I've heard versions of Cat Scratch Fever, which is a famous Ted Nugent song. He talks about the one that Pantera covered. He said, I love Pantera and I love Lemmy and I love the Ramones, but God, they're terminally Caucasian or what? There's a real Motown soulfulness to what me and my boys deliver. There's a grunt and a grind. He also added, I love musicians who put their heart and soul into stuff. He said he loved Megadeth, Slayer, and Metallica. And he says, when I listen to music, I want to hear groove. And then when I hear Pantera's version of Cat Scratch Fever, I thank them, but I think they're angry at me because I call them Caucasian, which I think is a racial slur somewhere. So what was his advice? Put their heart and soul into stuff, I guess.
Right, and don't be Caucasians is his other advice.
Now, do you have the Motown swing when you are up on stage, John? How do you feel about what he said?
I mean, I've been told by some that's kind of my thing is the Motown swing, you know. I think if you saw my moves, you'd be like, that's a Motown swing.
Yeah.
However, I've never been called Caucasian, so I don't know, you know.
I mean, yeah, you're green. I don't think you would fit in easily into any of the known categories.
Ted Nugent looks like he's Machine Gun Kelly's father. You know?
Yeah.
He's that guy that's like apologizing for his son.
And acts like him, too. He's like the guy at the bowling night who has to explain his kid to all the other bowlers.
Yeah, and he walks into their band rehearsal in the garage, and he's like, no, guys, it's good. I just think it needs some more Motown swing, you know what I mean? You guys need to learn that swing.
You're sounding a little bit Caucasian. Now take out the trash like I told you.
You guys are sound a little Caucasian. You're like, Dad, here's a mirror.
Wonderful.
Oh, Ted. Oh, Ted. By the way, Pantera's cover is friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Agreed. Are you a Pantera fan?
Oh, yeah. I like Pantera. Yep.
Oh, ER Science in the chat has a good note for Ted. He said, Ted, can Motown swing on these nuts?
Got him.
Got him. That was a good one. Roasted.
Boom.
A couple of chestnuts.
Take that L, Ted. Take that L.
Well done. Well done.
Well, John, we really want to thank you for the time that you provided for us. This was an incredibly enlightening half hour. I feel like we've learned so much about ourselves, about our show, about humanity in general. We'd love for you to come back anytime.
Hey, I'll be happy to come back. You know, I really enjoyed my time. I enjoyed my time with two of you, and I'm not going to tell you which two. I'm just going to let you guys decide. You know,
we'll figure it out. So again, yeah. I want to mention NecroGoblicon starting today or tomorrow is on tour with GWAR all over this great nation. The new NecroGoblicon album, The Fundamental Slimes and Humors, is out now. And if you need a little reading, John's book, John Goblicon's Guide to Living Your Best Life, also available. Is there an audiobook version too?
Oh, yeah. You can hear my sweet, sultry sounds.
I mean, you can hear that Motown swing of John.
Yeah, got that Motown swing vocals. Yeah, that real soulful sound of the Caucasians. Yeah.
Well, John, thank you so much. Hopefully there's plenty of cats to eat in your future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. And Sid, I'll be expecting a delivery from your house from that delicious orange feline in the background.
I've got DHL on the other line right now.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, you guys. Hey, you guys have a good day.
You too, John.
All right. Stay green.
Love it. That's John Goblicon.
Fantastic.
Lovely fella. Lovely goblin.
I don't know, Rob, I have to question your interviewing skills because you should have pressed him on who the one he didn't like was out of the three of us. You just were like, okay, sure. You should have pushed back on that.
I mean, I didn't want to say anything, but it's probably you.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're the one he has developed the least amount of relationship with.
I guess that's true.
What does that mean?
It's just a numbers game. You came in later in the interview, so you don't have as much history with him.
Yeah.
As I do.
Yeah, that's
30
seconds.
We go way back. We go back 35 minutes. You and him only go back 30 minutes.
Yeah.
PR Science says John Goblicon rules. Going to get his book. That's exciting. Glad we.
Energy Pig thinks it's you, Rob.
Oh no, Energy Pig thinks I'm the one he doesn't like.
Sid and I both have things on parts of our face, like he did, and you don't.
Yeah, just that weird mustache.
Maybe it's because I asked if he was Jewish. He wasn't into that question.
Oh yeah, I don't think Jared was.
You weren't there
that was
for that.
Great.
Was he Jewish?
It was basically, hey John, you have a large hook nose. Are you Jewish like we are? That was basically.
I did not word it that offensively.
So inappropriate. How? What is the inoffensive way to talk about someone's hook nose and whether they?
I didn't even mention the hook nose. I said the
you mentioned
I were,
nose. You didn't say hook.
I said Sid and I were. Yeah, exactly. I didn't say hook. That's a big thing. Okay. I just said his nose.
Literally.
I let the listener, the viewer, put that together.
You said he had a Jewish-y nose? Is that what I'm getting
at? No, I said we were both Jewish, and I was wondering if he had ever been confused for being Jewish.
Based on his nose.
Based on his appearance. And then
nose and his green, sickly skin.
And then I even said, I was even self-deprecating and said that we had similar noses.
Uh-huh.
So I was saying I had a nose, man. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Did he start reading the brachas after you asked him that?
We should have got him to say a prayer.
I just saw something that Gilbert Gottfried did, and it was a cameo. And in this cameo, he just starts chanting like a cantor, like a Jewish cantor.
That is so – let's cue that up. I think we should play that.
It's so spot on. It's not even a joke. It's just him imitating a cantor, and it's so fucking funny. Anything he does is just funny.
R.I.P. a legend.
Can you find that? It may be a little niche to look up.
Okay. You shared it in the Discord earlier.
Oh, that's
this
right.
This is why you should be in our Discord, folks. Our Discord is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Hit up the link on any of our episode descriptions. You get the invite. And
I forgot.
There we go. This is really...
It's Gilbert Gottfried.
So this is a cameo that he did for someone who is Jewish, for some context.
And this is for Mark MacDonald, and it's being sent by Diana Fay. And first of all, happy Hanukkah.
I've never seen him so flustered.
Yeah.
Like, he's still gathering his thoughts.
And he's older. Like, this is probably a little bit before he died, right? It says April 13th. So I don't know if it was posted right when he did it, but, I mean, it's got to be towards the end of his life. So can forgive
happy
him being a little rattled.
Hanukkah, as it's the correct pronunciation. Mark, how did Jews do it doggy style? The husband sits up and begs, and the wife rolls over and plays dead. a waiter goes up to an old Jewish couple at a restaurant and says, "Is anything okay?"
That was the best one.
A Jewish kid comes home from school. He says, "Mom, I just got a part in a school play." The mother says, "That's wonderful. What part do you play?" He says, "I play a Jewish husband." The mother says, "Go back and tell the teacher you want a speaking role." And what's the difference between a Jew and a canoe? A canoe tips. Anyway, happy Hanukkah, Mark and Yishirach Nayacha Burkadi, Asuya Yishir Machalos. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, sweet.
It's like he's doing an impression of Larry King singing Lady Gaga.
Yeah!
Without realizing.
So there's something.
Zerinsky, little Larry King doing Lady Gaga. That's a little low.
Yeah.
Oh. Or I'll get that fixed.
Yeah. But, you know, I do want to take a moment. Let's be a little silly. Let's cut the drops for a moment. Because I do want to mention, Shannon mentioned it at the top of the show, and we are incredibly heartbroken about the news of the loss of Trevor Strunet, of the Black Dahlia murder. He's been a guest on the show three times at least, and a fan of the
three
show.
Three times in person, at least once on Zoom.
That's right, and he definitely called in before that too. And so he's been he's probably been on the show more than any other musician.
I would think so, yeah.
And we're so sad when we learned that he died, and it was just a bummer because he was always such a really, really fun, nice guy, and like really always brought a smile to everyone's face. And it was very, very sad to learn about his death. And he was dealing with depression, and depression sucks. I personally also have been dealing with it. And so I know how hard it could be. And I guess what I would say is, if there's any listeners out there that themselves are dealing with depression, just know that there's someone to talk to. And if you don't have anyone to talk to, hit us up. We'll talk to you. RFPLivecast@gmail.com. That's how you can reach out to us. Or
and
go
we
to
also,
the Discord.
I was into the Discord. You said it.
Yeah, that's right. And like, we'll talk to you. And it's never, you know, there's always someone who cares for you. There's someone who loves you. And we love you. I don't know what else to say. I was very shook by the news. This obviously isn't the first death in the scene or the industry, but this is very much.
Or even among livecast guests.
But this is one that like very much hits close to home. This is very hard to process for me.
I wanted to say also the fact that, you know, he was on our show when we did audio shows in person, like three times, I think. And then again, twice after we went to video. But when we met him in person, I mean, like, you know, they always say you can never tell what's going on in somebody's head. But especially with him, because he was such a happy, like, seemingly outwardly happy person and friendly and energetic. He was like a bit self-deprecating, but like you took it as comedy. Like you didn't take it as he was really down on himself. If you lined up everyone I've ever met through this show and said, which was the least person likely to commit suicide, I would say it was him.
You never can tell.
Sure. I mean, you never know what's going on in someone's head.
He seemed so excited about life, about being in a band. It was like, he almost seemed like if you picked a fan out of a concert audience and were like, okay, now you get to be the lead singer of your favorite band. Enjoy it. And he was just like that. He approached it all just like from a
fan. And he never stopped being a fan. You know, he always was seeking out that underground band that like have, you know, 10 followers on Bandcamp. He loved.
Didn't he do a column on Metal Injection?
Yeah, to the point exactly. And that's something that he wanted to do. He loved exposing new bands. And to the point, like, you know, even on Metal Injection, there was an article this week. I did not write it, obviously, but it was just an article of like just 15 of his guest vocal appearances. That's how many different bands.
Wow.
And they're all not major bands. Like some of them are known metal bands, but a lot of them are just smaller bands that he just lended his credibility to just because he was a fan.
He was the Pitbull of metal, you could say.
Or maybe the T-Pain?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
No auto-tune, though, but we're very much...
It works even better because T for Trevor. You win, Rob.
We're very much going to miss you, Trevor, and our condolences you got to his friends, his family, and any fans. And again, like I said, if you're going through something, there's always someone to talk to. Either, you know, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is out there, or you know, just come into our Discord and talk to us. Talk to us, and we'll talk to you. There's always a way out. There's always a solution. You know, you don't have to end your life.
We've been doing the show like a decade and a half now, and we have gotten so many messages from people that say that we helped them through. It just blows my mind, like that they you know, like we had some kind of impact, you know. That so I mean, the more that we can do that, the better. Like if you have any connection to us, like even if you just think fart jokes are funny or whatever, you know, please like reach out and we can give something back to you, and, like, you know, make you feel like you're worth something, you know. Everybody deserves that.
And I just want to say it was really heartwarming this week after the news broke of just like so many people in our Discord sharing their own personal stories of meeting Trevor. Mm-hmm. And it was just like everybody had the same story. I met him at a concert. He like hung out with me and we joked around. We smoked up, whatever. It was just like he was just always on. He was always friendly. He was always like he had time for the fans. Everybody, whoever interacted with him just has like a positive story to share.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, yeah, I mean, I know. I mean, it's a lot of people when they pass, people will only say the good things, but I feel like it's completely genuine in this case.
Well,
with somebody in our chat, I believe, hey guys, it's Josh, said he was going to get a heartburn tattoo.
Yeah, but not on his stomach. He had to like compromise.
Well, that's okay. It's for the best.
Well, look. Well, the history of this show is all tattoo compromising. Look at Sean with his.
That's true.
He lost a bet and bailed and got a completely different tattoo than he was supposed to get.
To be fair, we rigged the vote, but he didn't know it at the time. He didn't know it.
He exposed himself by thinking it was a genuine vote and not following it.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, that's it. All right.
In case you're an old new listener, do you want to explain what that was briefly? What that was?
So Sean said he would get a tattoo of whatever livecast listeners would want him to get a tattoo of, and he was lobbying to get a tattoo of Patrick Swayze in drag in Tu Wong Fu, and one of the other options was a portrait of Sid and myself, and the two were like head to head, and then like I kind of started rigging the vote, so Sid and me pulled ahead.
You admit it.
Authentically, like based on the actual votes, the Chu Wong Fu thing was winning, which really bothered me because it's like, these are our listeners. Why don't they want our faces on Sid, I mean, on Sean's body? How
they probably were just realistic enough to think there's no way Sean would follow through on that one. So
the try, at least. Yeah. Try to force him. I mean, also, the thing is, like, more so than wanting to see Robin Sid on his leg, wouldn't you just want to make Sean get a tattoo he doesn't want? Like, period. That's the most important factor there to me.
Our listeners are too nice.
Yes.
I guess you could look at it as like the me and Rob tattoo was the Bernie, and the voters just maybe some of them were turned off because they thought that tattoo was unelectable.
No.
So they just went with the centrist choice. And then they regretted it.
Equally bad.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we had all these libs listening to our show.
Tattoo
libs. It was
libs.
A different time. It was a different time. It was like 10 years ago.
The tattoo centrism of the, that's ruining our country.
Oh, man. Yeah. R.I.P. Trevor. He was definitely not a tattoo centrist.
You threw me off there. I was still in Sean mode, and I was, you were about to say R.I.P. I thought it was a joke, R.I.P.
Oh, no.
Like, oh. Then I had to go, oh, fuck. I was about to laugh. I was about to laugh because I thought you were setting up a joke. And then you said,
I swerved.
You did. You got me.
Whew.
All right.
Speaking of jokes, though, I'm wearing my Eradicator shirt in honor of the Kids in the Hall. There's a new season of the Kids in the Hall on Amazon Prime. If you have it, watch it. It is incredibly good. It is so good.
I have watched one episode, and I have two reactions. The first one is that it's just like, it's like if you said create in a lab what in 1996 what you think the 60-year-old Kids in the Hall show would look like, this is it.
Exactly right.
And the second thing is there's an enormous amount of penis in this show. Like, exposed penis.
I will say that was only in that one episode.
Oh, it doesn't continue on?
After that, I think you get, like, a portion of a cock, but that's it. There's just one word.
Guest star penis or the...
No.
No.
Cock.
It's
couple
Kevin,
of kid cocks.
No, Kevin McDonald.
Don't spoil it. Aww.
Oh. And I already said Kevin McDonald and one other a show co-host.
Oh, wow.
Cast member are completely full-on frontal nudity for quite a long time.
For comedic effect? Or?
Yes.
Very much comedic effects and done beautifully. It's probably the funniest way they could have been naked.
All right.
Bless Kevin McDonald's heart, man. I don't think I'd have had it in me to do full frontal if that's what I was packing. But it just it's so on brand that that's what his dick looks like.
True. Well, to me, they look like they had identical penises. It was a little weird.
No, the other guy, I think, was a little bit more average size.
You think? I don't know.
Oh, don't size shame anybody.
Honestly, I was just in shock that they even did it. I didn't do such a quantitative analysis. But my first reaction was, they look like perfectly normal flaccid penises. They don't look like tiny, tiny penises.
Plus, it's flaccid.
Right, but I only watched it once, so maybe Sid's right. I don't know, but it didn't strike me as I certainly did not strike me that they had huge penises. But my point being, it did not strike me as abnormally tiny.
We'll get Rob's tie-breaking vote.
Yeah, I'll watch it in the next week.
I'll say I watched all 8 episodes, and Darren's statement that it just feels like the next normal Kids in the Hall season is exactly right throughout. It's just great and funny and timeless, and they haven't lost a tick off their fastball at all. It's just great.
Completely agree. I would say, and I have one nitpick, and it's a technical one, not a creative one, but the fact that it's shot on digital film throws me off a little. Like,
you get used to it after a little while.
Yeah, I did get used to it within the course of one episode, but it brings a feel of like the miniseries they did or Brain Candy. It feels it makes you feel more like that. And I have like sort of negative associations to Brain Candy, even though I liked it. I still like it a lot, but I just feel like it's not as good as the show.
Fair.
And I like sort of brought me down in that, but then the sketches brought me, the sketches that they did in the first show were just fantastic and brought me back up. So it's something that bothered me and then it went away, like you said. It was there.
Hopefully they do more seasons.
That's it.
I'm sure if they get the views. The Amazon will give them the money.
I don't know if Amazon can. What else are they spending money on?
Amazon has some has had some good shows.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know if you guys saw, there was another nudity controversy, male nudity controversy
this
week. There's a Broadway show, and one of the actors wanged. I believe Jesse Williams is his name. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Jesse Williams. So the Broadway show is Take Me Out, and it's about baseball players, I guess. And there's a shower scene, and when the show starts, you're asked to put your part of my hair that's like popping out. It's like bugging.
Yes, to put that somewhere.
Yes, for that. Sorry, my ADD kicks in. They asked to put your phones away into like these little pouches that lock, I guess. But the ushers at a fucking Broadway show are 80, and I guess they don't know who's locked or not. And so some very thirsty person snuck out his camera during the nude shower scene. And so there's a collection of men just taking a shower on stage nude and showing Jesse Williams'
his pee-pee.
No one would call that one average or small. I'll tell you what.
Now I have a question. So does Jesse Williams walk around with his peen like hard, or is it just
it was soft. It was not hard.
And it was still damn near down to his kneecap.
Is that true? I haven't seen this.
Yeah. I mean, he has nothing to be ashamed of. But there was the question of, is this an invasion of privacy?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it totally is, because this was a completely unauthorized documentation of Wang.
Right. There is no debate. They requested people not to photograph it. So it is an invasion of privacy, period. Now, if you had not said that going in and just did a show and someone pulled out their camera, I would say it's at least at the periphery of something you can argue that they have the right to expect that to be a possibility. But once you say, do not photograph my penis, that's it. You lost. If you photograph their penis, you've violated.
Has he released a statement?
No, he hasn't.
I mean, he's got everyone in the world knowing that he has a gigantic penis now.
Yeah, I guess it's a win-win for him, I guess.
I can see how it's like a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
He did respond. I love Jesse Williams' response to viral Broadway leak.
Don't say
Jesse
viral
Williams
in connection with a penis.
Yeah, or leak.
So leak viral
responds to buzz over his Broadway news scene.
Buzz might not be good either.
That's what she said.
Doc, I have a buzzing in my penis.
He goes, it's a body. Once you've seen it, you realize it's whatever. It's a boy. I just have to make it not that big of a deal.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty big deal.
A boy.
Earlier this month,
the kids in the hall was a boy.
He told Page Six he was initially terrified of the role in the nude scene, but got over it. A quote, then I noted that that was what I asked God for. I asked to be terrified. Oh, don't bring God into this.
That's
weird.
I asked God for that, and I didn't get shit. That's why I'm an atheist.
I asked to do something that was scary and challenging and made me earn it and made me feel alive and not comfortable. There are other nude scenes. No, there are other nude actors in the play. The second stage Hayes Theater is required audiences to place phones in a locked pouch before the show out of respect and support for our actors in order to create a phone-free space. Now, this has led to, there was another video this week that I wanted to play from legendary Broadway actress Patti LuPone, who you might have even seen on a TV show or a movie here or there, because she's been around forever, and she really is
Patty.
And she is somebody, what I like about Patti LuPone, she's one of those New York gals that do not take shit. And they don't give a fuck. And so there's
even
this audio.
In that picture of her, she looks like she's
she's
not
winning an award.
Yeah.
I said I wanted a sesame bagel. What is this?
scooped out, please. So now, I guess, she's in a new play, or she's in a revival of the play Company. And I guess now they're doing these little Q&As after the show called Talkbacks. And the talkback, so I guess she noticed someone not properly wearing a mask. And I love the rant that she goes on.
Douglas Levison.
Yeah.
She even does a Who Are You?
Who are you?
Where do you think he gets the money from, dumbass? From the patrons.
That woman doesn't pay her salary. The rest of the pay. I think that's a shitty. That's a shitty comeback.
What you mean the audience member saying that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go there myself, but I also I have a lot of problems with this video, but I'll let you finish playing it first.
Here you are. Just put your mask over your nose. We have worked really hard.
I have a few problems with this. The number one thing being she is in a room full of closed people telling them to put a mask over their nose, and she is not wearing a mask, nor are the 7 or 8 people sitting 3 inches away from her mouth and nose. So why doesn't she have to wear a mask?
The response to that would be they get tested every day.
Okay,
I agree with you. But like I'm just trying to provide the perspective here. Mm-hmm. They get tested every day, and in order for them to safely perform their duties, everyone else should be masked because it reduces the risk for them because they were already performing without their masks. Yeah,
I think it's because they're performers and they're supposed to exist on another level from peons like us. When
but
in
how
reality,
are they supposed to they're supposed to perform with the mask on?
I don't listen. All I'm saying is, if you're asking someone else to do that, why should you get it? If it's so important, they have to yell at you in the audience, which I'm not necessarily disagreeing with. How can you do that and then be sitting there with no mask on? That's all I'm saying. And even. Let's say performing is so important that you can do it without a mask and risk spreading shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not performing. You're sitting down there talking to these people.
Totally
like
agree.
Some asshole. So like, why
they
can't
can
you put
a mask
right on?
Now, yeah.
Well, that's not even the most important of my.
And Angelica, it's like, do the masks help?
Well, I knew you were going to say that. No, I mean, Rob.
The research is inconclusive.
I think the research says that wearing a mask reduces spread. It doesn't. It's not an impenetrable wall.
Yeah.
Nor does it guarantee you can't catch anything or spread anything. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But wearing it and not spewing your phlegm everywhere has zero effect. I will never agree with that.
Yeah.
It traps something.
Well, I agree with what. You wear pants. If you're peeing with no pants on, the pee gets all over the place. If you're wearing pants, at least it's contained within your pants. So in that sense, I agree with you. But there had been studies of like European countries that never had any mask mandates. And the amount of cases they had were just as much, if not lower, than countries with mask mandates.
But just because they didn't have mandates doesn't mean that people didn't still wear masks just because they thought they should. It's not like there was zero mask wearing.
When I was in Amsterdam, nobody was wearing.
But you were
at
in Amsterdam
anywhere.
Like a month ago.
Yeah,
but it was always like that. They were saying it was always like that. They were saying nobody ever wore masks.
Who's that? People are saying?
Locals, yeah. Many people, wonderful people are telling me.
Yeah.
Everyone is saying.
We're
going to
make
locals.
Amsterdam great again.
We invented masks. We have the best masks. If Joe Biden comes in and wants to say he invented masks, not true,
you
people.
You know what the best mask is? Air. It's protecting us all over. Nature is our mask.
I inject bleach into my mask every week. It goes right in the straps and just rolls all around inside. It's the best thing. It's the best thing you can do. Be right back. Gotta go host a stupid boxing pay-per-view.
It is sad that the stock market tanked and now Elon Musk probably won't be buying Twitter. Not that he was going to buy it ever because he hinted that he may have that he would have reinstated Donald Trump's Twitter account, which I have to say, it's been a year and a half now without Donald Trump on Twitter. And
mm-hmm.
someone who is in no way a Donald Trump fan, I really just
need him back.
I miss those tweets. I miss that. The man had great comedic timing. I always said it.
And
I need it. I need those dumb takes.
He doesn't have his finger on the nuclear button. I'm fine. Just go ahead. And we have a different senile octogenarian on the button now. So, I mean, it's like, if we're going to have that anyway, get some comedy in there.
Don't feel it, Sid?
No. I didn't follow him on Twitter to begin with, so.
Oh, me neither. But it comes up.
I never followed him, yeah.
It comes up in the news. Just you don't need to be to follow him. I honestly, to be honest with you, I like that he riles up people that I hate. I think that's a good, that's probably the number one superficial effect of Trump being around that I like. And it's not weighed out, it doesn't outweigh the shitty aspects of Trump at all. I just think if we're living in hell anyway, I want to see some chaos in the culture war area.
Yeah. And like ban Stephen Miller or something instead. That's fine. I don't care about his.
Well, he just did an accidentally left thing too. Did you see that?
I did see that. So this week in the news, there was a shortage of baby formula. That's like a big thing right now. Is a lot of parents of newborns are having trouble finding formula because there's only essentially two baby formula. There's like not a monopoly. What is it? Oligopoly?
A duopoly?
Duopoly, sure.
A necrogopoly.
Yeah. I invented wearing green masks and googly eyeglasses. Now everyone's doing it, of course. This is what happens. I do something, everyone else does it.
So, a lot of people can't get their baby formula. And then the dumbest fucking take is just, why don't you try breastfeeding? Has anybody forgot about breastfeeding? No, breastfeeding, no.
It's natural.
Which, have you ever taken a science course? And also, for all these anti-abortion pieces of shit, or forced labor pieces of shit, it's like, hey, if this baby gets adopted, the mother cannot breastfeed them. How is this baby getting its nutrients?
I breastfed Baron until he was 3 years old, and look how he turned out. Fantastic.
So liberal, like book liberal, and I say liberal, not leftist. Like if you look at a liberal celebrity, the two first photos that come up are Rob Reiner and Bette Midler. And so Bette Midler tweets.
Are you calling her Bette Midler?
Bette Midler. Bette.
Appropriate.
At Bed Midler that time. You flipped it.
Bette Midler.
There we go.
She's mid anyway. You don't want to give her
any. She says, try breastfeeding. It's free and available on demand.
She's the American Sharon Osbourne.
Ozzy, try breastfeeding.
Oh, Ozzy's glands are fully dry. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
Aldehyde. And of all fucking people, the devil himself, Stephen Miller, who I...
You're on a basis with him? We can call him Steve, Rob.
He has a band, I heard.
Stephon Miller over here. One of the fucking evilest evil men in the world. Like the architect of the illegal child separation at the border.
Right. Took disgusting Obama policies and made them worse.
Made them even worse and like harsher and crueler. He's the one that instigated the separations that deemed it necessary. He says to Bette Midler, who said, why don't you try breastfeeding? He says, what a profoundly offensive and ignorant statement. There are countless reasons why breastfeeding is not an option for many mothers. Too many to get into here. And if you've been using formula, you can't mention millions of babies with milk and food allergies.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, this fucking cruel goblin is to the left of Ben Midler. What the fuck is going on in the world?
No, he's not. He doesn't give a single fuck about this. He's just saying it because she's a fucking lib and he's going to be the opposite of whatever she is. And
sure,
because this right now is an anti-Biden talking point, so he's going to be on whatever side is anti-Biden.
Completely
no
agree.
Ideology behind
I absolutely agree with you, but it's still the correct take.
Sure, but it's like a broken clock.
But it shows that the incorrect take is the mainstream popular pseudo-left one. So if they're opposing
it. Well, is anyone other than Bette Midler saying that?
A lot of people are saying this is like a, I don't know, I'm seeing it a bunch.
I don't care at all about baby formula, so I haven't been really following this story because it doesn't matter to me. So I don't know who's saying what. Let all the babies starve. More food for the rest of us. That's what I say.
But then who's going to be in the farms picking out the food for us?
I'll worry about that in 20 years. I'll be on death's door by then, so it won't matter that much.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I mean, it's not like babies today are going to be working in the farms tomorrow.
Wait, why are you going to be on death's door?
What year was it? My mid-60s. I don't take care of myself.
I thought you said 2025. I was like, you're not telling us something?
Starting them young, no. No.
What else we got going on? Here's an old video, but we never played it. And then we can get to our music picks.
Do we don't want to talk about the farting soccer player?
Okay, let's do that one then.
I'm curious to know what that video was. You're going to tell me later.
What's the story here, Sid? French soccer team demoted player for excessive farting and laughing? Sid, is this you? You play soccer?
So now, without reading this, go ahead.
I want to read the first fragment here. Being a professional soccer player can be a real gas. That's it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to try to predict whether he was fired for farting and separately also too much laughing, or because he specifically farted and laughed about it.
Hmm.
I would guess the latter. That would be
laughing,
weird.
Yeah, laughing doesn't seem like a reason to fire.
Yeah, laughing to the point that we demote you.
The French team Lyon disciplined one of its defenders because of it. Lyon demoted Marcelo.
Lyon.
Demoted
now you
Marcelo.
Set him off, Sid. Now he's going to do the accent
exactly.
The whole time.
Lyon!
That's nice. What are you, Chet Hanks now?
Yes. Lyon demoted Marcelo, a 34-year-old defender from Brazil, who goes only by his first name, after the team's 3-0 loss to Angers? Angers?
Oh.
St. Angers?
ESPN reported at the time that Marcelo was caught laughing during the team captain's post-game speech, which officials later described as inappropriate behavior.
So we were wrong. It was a separate laughing incident from the farting incident.
Maybe he was laughing about the farting, and they thought he was laughing about the losing. And that's
He was trying to find a silver lining.
Some lining in his pants there. I don't know what it was.
It has since emerged that team officials had another issue with Marcelo. He repeatedly farted around his teammates and laughed in front of team officials. Although Marcelo was considered a team leader and signed a new contract with Lyon before the season started, the club was ripe for a change.
Yeah.
The reserve.
Very clever.
The contract
writing.
Was terminated in January. After being dropped by Lyon, Marcelo signed with Bordeaux. Sadly, that team currently stinks worse than Lyon's locker room, losing 8 of the 10 games. This is a nothing story.
He's just the guy who got cut for farting. I can't wait until Ted Lasso does a storyline about this in season 3. That's going to be fun. Ted Asso. That'll be the episode title for them. I'll let them have that one.
What was the other thing you wanted to
say?
The other thing was... this video.
Jesse Williams' Wang.
It's not available anymore.
Oh, his Wang is not available? Is it because he farted and laughed while his dick was flopping around on Broadway and they demoted him to off-Broadway?
He did one of these like Zoidberg's tentacles.
He just waved to someone in the audience with his peanut. They didn't like that.
His mom.
By the way, Rob, would you smash Jesse Williams?
Yeah.
Does the penis feel like if he had Kevin McDonald's penis, would you still like smash him, or
I don't have a minimum or a maximum penis size. I'm not.
Is that because you're the top, or just an aesthetic thing?
I don't know. I don't have a like. I love all penises, as long as they don't look weird.
Like, well, what does look weird mean to you?
It could be anything.
I don't know. Like,
cut, uncut, do you have a preference there?
I guess my preference is cut. just because I've sometimes encountered a uncut penis with a little, like
a little cottage cheese in there.
Yeah.
Cottage cheese. I thought you were going to say a little pigtail curly Q at the end. Sometimes
that's fine.
Porn.
Yeah. No, but that's what you usually when they're erect, it fills the space. That's only when they're soft.
I've seen some porns where the guy has a full-on chub and he has to still pull back the curlicue to get the head of the dick out.
Yeah, that could be hot.
That's just British guys.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, though, is like I never saw an uncircumcised penis until I started watching European porn. And I was like,
really?
Oh, that's what that? And it took me a while to adjust. Yeah. Cause
I saw a bunch of them. And I think they were probably more prevalent when I was a teenager and watching porn, and it hasn't been a thing since then lately.
Yeah, like when I... all the straight porn on the Spice Channel, everyone was circumcised. And then, well, you know, the American gay porn that I would watch, everyone was circumcised. But then, like, once they got into the European studios, like Bellamy, that's when they see the answer.
Wait, like, it's supposed to rhyme with salami for real?
I don't know how you, I don't know the proper way to pronounce it.
It's Bellamy.
Bellamy or Bellamy, yeah. I don't know. I've never heard it. Said out loud by an American
person. By someone without their mouth full.
You don't say the street. Nobody says vivid pictures, you know, while sucking dick.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if they did, if they had, like, the Paramount Lion or whatever studio that
MGM
is.
MGM Lion.
It's yeah, there you go.
It's Leon. I don't want to act like every guy was uncircumcised in the porn that I watched back then, but it was probably like 90-10.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You'd see them pop up, though. Literally.
Like a meat thermometer.
Made me think I was weird because I was uncircumcised, and I was like, and then you'd see one and go, oh, okay, my dick kind of looks like that.
There was somebody, I'm not going to mention the person, but they gave birth to a boy. And I was talking to her about, like, oh, are you going to do the circumcision? Because, you know, the health reasons why you shouldn't do it and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, I agree with all of that, but I'm just too worried that he would feel like his dick looks too different than his dad's dick. So that's why I'm going to circumcise him.
Why? How often do you see your – like, I didn't grow up with my father, so I don't have an answer to this question. But how often do you see your father's penis?
I didn't see it often. But when I did, his was uncircumcised, and that weirded me out. But, like, not in a way that made me feel bad about myself. It just made me think he was weird.
But you said you had, like, kind of distant parents, but, like, right? I mean, but
yeah.
I mean, theoretically, you could just explain to your child what the difference is. And why does he, you know, or, you know, if the father is circumcised and you are not, like, just explain to him. This is the procedure when they're old enough.
Yeah.
Like, why is that so difficult?
Some people just are lazy or would rather not have that conversation.
I think
did you ever have that conversation, Sid?
Huh?
Did you ever have that conversation?
No, I just said I didn't.
Oh, okay.
That's, and my mother's pretty progressive, and she didn't explain to me what circumcision was, and that she just said I wasn't circumcised, but she didn't explain what it meant or, like, why people do it or what the procedure is. Like, I have found that all out, you know, when I got to be, you know, a young adult, I would say.
Yeah, there, lots of parents just take the, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not trying to
dunk on class in school, it'll be fine.
I'm not trying to, like, dunk on my mother that she's a bad mother, but I feel like there was a failure of communication on this one issue.
You turned out fine. You figured it out for yourself eventually.
Right.
You had it handled.
I wouldn't say I'm fine all around, but I would say I got to the right place I needed to be on this topic.
Yeah.
I got circumcised at 30. I did a great job. And only because I had a medical condition that forced me to have that. Yeah. So I might still be uncircumcised.
And you'd be fine.
I wasn't fine.
That medical condition?
It was really hindering me, though. I had I wasn't unable to have sex or properly jerk off. Like, I had to jerk off when I was half hard. And it was, like, not as pleasurable because the skin wouldn't retract all the way. It was retracting, like, a quarter of an inch, and I could just pee through the hole, and that was it.
I know. Okay, Rob?
The face Rob is making is the face I was making at the time. Sorry to gross you out with my penis, Rob. I apologize.
Motherfucker.
disaster.
Well, reopen that picture of Jesse Williams, Rob. It'll make you feel better.
Okay. I didn't have Schmeg, though. If that's what they don't need.
Okay, that's good. That's important. Here's the video I wanted to play. Oh, hold on. We're on the wrong page. One moment.
There's a cat walking around Darren's background.
Oh, where is it?
I see a little tail. Oh, here we go. Oh, my God. This is what we're doing. All right.
Oh. This is the pastor.
Now watch. He can't see, but he can hear.
This is so weird.
And this is the moment where many of us are in, is that God is doing something and we hear him changing. We hear him even in your prayer. And in this time, he's changing something and you don't...
His cadence is so... We hear him. He changes.
See it clearly yet.
Also, I believe that the guy next to him is his brother or some cousin. Something. There it is.
So he has a giant wad of
and
loot.
This is where most people would not face Jesus anymore.
I certainly wouldn't.
What most people would do is turn away.
Yes. Yes, me.
Oh, he's just hawking it up now.
Dude, get that checked out.
He's about to.
What I'm telling you? What I'm telling you?
These hackles are pretty great.
It's just as he's physically standing here, knowing what's coming. God's saying, can you physically and spiritually and emotionally be able to stand? When getting the vision or receiving it might get nasty. I'm going to say it in a point just like that. Receiving vision from God might get nasty.
Oh, no. There's even a graphic.
You mean, God, I just bought in crazy faith.
It's like a stream.
I just
comment.
Bought my dream car. And now you're going to ask me to sell it back?
Here we go. Okay, here we go.
It get nasty.
Why is God
rubbing it in?
Oh, I thought he was going to slap him.
In the hoopie again?
I'd rather get slapped.
Yeah, because the vision I'm about to give you, it might get nasty.
Rubbing it in like aloe.
Oh!
It's dripping and dripping down his face.
He moved it. He doesn't believe in God.
He didn't want it on his lips because that's a little gay.
What I'm telling you is how you just reacted. It's how the people in your life will react when God is doing what it takes
like he took a
for the miracle.
Shot.
What are you saying?
God.
This man was blind, and what he was trying to
he's
do
blind
with
now
because
he's spitting his fucking eye.
Give him his DNA.
Oh.
I think this. You know what? I'm converted. I believe in God now. That he was so convincing. So convincing.
I'm not gay no more.
Your cat's had enough of it.
Oh, he's
out the door.
Yeah, there he is.
I
think he just might have a fetish of wanting to spit on and rub spit into people's face and doing it in front of an audience. I gave him a chub, and he's like, I wonder if I could sneak this into a sermon.
He's getting to have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah,
Preaching the word of God and spitting on dudes.
Spit cake.
Though if it's a fetish and you do it with your brother.
Was it his brother? I didn't
I think
it.
I read that it was his brother. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm like pretty sure.
Well, what if I offer this theory? He has a fetish, wants to do this to somebody, wants to do it in front of an audience, worked it in a sermon, and the only person he could find to do it was his brother. And he said, this is a little weird. I'm not sexually attracted to my brother, but... I am getting to do this thing I've always wanted to do. I'll deal with the brother thing.
And then what's the thought process on the brother's behalf?
He thinks the guy's genuine and he wants to do a sermon and is not picking up on the sexual aspect.
Eesh. Well, hopefully it's a one-time thing. If he starts doing this to his poor brother every fucking Sunday.
Imagine. It's just he finds different things that God wants to rub into his orifices.
Next time he's like making his brother wear a tank top, he's rubbing it into his armpits.
Now God wants you to stand there while I rub duty from an aardvark onto your nostrils. Now this shows that you can withstand any stink that God puts on you.
Now I want to know what aardvark feces looks like, Rob. Could you cue that up?
Come to my sermon next week, Sid.
Come on, there's got to be something peculiar about aardvark feces. Let's see. No, it looks like, actually there's different kinds, but it looks like dirt more than it looks like poop. Well, no, some of it actually looks like poop. Never mind, it just looks like shit.
On June 5th at the amphitheater, I will be shooting ivermectin into my brother's penis.
Oh, no.
On stage.
Wow. All right, maybe let's go back to the spit. Maybe we should have just left them alone.
We've gone too far. We've gone way too far.
My brother was supposed to wear a gimp suit, but it did not arrive because of UPS issues.
He's going to spit all over the ball gag.
This guy's, by the way, he's doing a collab with John from Live Your Best Life, How to Live Your Best Life.
So he's on top of that bus and spit right in his face.
They're doing a book sequel for you.
It's already in the works. It's on Audible already. I don't know if you know this. You can audibly hear him spit on his brother.
Well, let's talk about our live cast music break. Every week, we each pick a song, throw it up on Spotify in a free playlist that you can subscribe to. And this week, we have a few extra tracks. First up, in tribute to the Black Dahlia Murders, Trevor Cernan, who we sadly lost this week, we posted up one of my favorite songs of theirs, What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse.
Castlevania Eternal. Reference.
And we also posted a track from the new Necrogoblicon album, The Fundamental Slimes and Humors, and the track is Right Now. And then my pick this week is from this artist that I was just exposed to that I am in love with. Her name is Scene Queen, and it's really great because it's kind of like pop music meets metalcore.
Okay.
And like her lyrics, like this lyrics is, the song is called Pink Rover. So like Red Rover, it kind of takes like children's rhymes and kind of updates them. And like this one is all about if a guy tries to put the moves on you a little too much at a show, you chop his dick off. So it's nice.
She's nice. A young really torture nice. Killer cover.
It's in that vein. It's in that vein.
The dick vein?
Yeah, the way you shoot the ivermectin when you were pregnant.
like the hook is, Pink Rover, please send the coward over. And if that bastard whistles, put a knife onto his boner. Cut him. And then the breakdown hits. It's great. I love it. Taking the power back, ladies. Let's do it.
They don't need your help, Rob.
I don't know. Why not?
No, don't be a fake ally, Rob.
Yeah. What? I'm a queer. I'm down with the ladies. But Sid, what's your pick?
Cis white man.
Thanks yes. to the cis het man telling me how to behave.
Just saying. You're in my boat. You're in my boat on this
homo.
Issue, buddy.
I'm cis homo, buddy. Okay. I'm cis homo.
I'm just saying. I feel like we're in the same boat on 3 out of 4 things. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
What's your pick?
I've been reading this new book all about SST Records lately, and I'm up to the chapter about the Minutemen, so I picked my favorite Minutemen song. It's one of my favorite Minutemen songs, and it's definitely my favorite Minutemen song title. It is a song, The Roar of the Masses Could Be Farts. So if only that soccer player, that Brazilian soccer player, knew that song, he could have blamed his farts on the roar of the masses at the soccer stadium, but oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Darren?
Well, I have a little bit of a convoluted story. about my pick this week. I was on YouTube, and in my recommendations, there was a song by Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, no.
Called No Easy Way Out, which is the great Robert Tepper song from the 80s. I think it's from Over the Top. Or it's from one of the Stallone movies.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't no easy way out. Right. A great song. And I was so offended by the fact that MGK covered the song.
Is it a cover or is it just he stole the song?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Oh.
That I made a note of it, that I want to play the great Robert Tepper's original No Easy Way Out. So that is my pick. And I discovered later, because I hadn't listened to it, that this is not a cover. It's just an original song called No Easy Way Out by MGK. So now I'm extra doubly mad at him for tricking me. But he only tricked me into picking a great, great, great song from a great soundtrack. So I feel like no harm has been done. Anyway, Robert Tepper, No Easy Way Out.
Did you listen to the MGK song just to see if it was also fantastic?
It's not. It's terrible.
But you listened?
I listened to like 10 seconds of it and I was over it.
Okay.
You just trashed it?
Pre-trashed it, but just confirmed my trashing.
Yes. Pre-trashed and re-trashed.
I would say it's less trash than if he had covered the song, because I would have been adding insult to injury.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
But it still sucks.
And so, yeah, I also want to mention our Patreon. Of course, if you want yourself a little more livecast, you can always hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/RIPLivecast. $5 a month gets you 2 bonus episodes a month, 2 extras, as well as a lovely TV column by Sid, and access to our archives of bonus episodes. We have like over 100 episodes in there by now, probably, and lots of fun stuff. At the top of the month, our episode was we did a second round viewing of the Judge Steve Harvey Show, and this time we focused on, he had a few episodes with wrestlers on them, which was unique. We have 2 full episodes of us watching Judge Steve Harvey. We have some movie watch-alongs. What are some movies we did watch-alongs?
Kiss, Phantom of the Park.
Oh, brutal.
Mm-hmm.
The
tag team pilot with Jesse Ventura and Roddy Piper.
The Fred Durst-directed movie with John Travolta.
Oh, brutal.
Cube 2 Hyperspace.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Hypercube, sorry.
Oh,
Hypercube.
You're giving it too much credit.
So it sounds like we also have... We also have roundtable discussions about movies like Space Jam, The Matrix, and we have a few little draft episodes where we come up with a topic and do a draft around it. So lots of fun stuff in there. And so for $5 a month, you get access to that, and you get a little Discord reward in our Discord chat. You get a little badge that you're a Patreon subscriber. We really appreciate it.
You all right?
And tomorrow, since today's Saturday, May 14th, tomorrow, May 15th, we're posting another episode. And I'm actually really excited about this one. We're doing a watch-along of the infamous wrestling match between Atsushi Onita, I forget his first name,
Atsushi.
I prefer Toshi.
Atsushi Onita. And Terry Funk, the legendary wrestler, and you might be saying, I'm not really a wrestling fan. Well, this is an exploding barbed wire match. So even if you're not a wrestling fan, this is the biggest spectacle of a match. It's absurd.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. We're going to do a watch along. The match itself is like 45 minutes. It'll be fun.
I'm excited to just do some wrestling content, finally.
Patreon.com/RIPAliveCast. And I also want to mention, you know, if you drop in an extra $5, $10 a month, we name you a top livecast fan of the week. And that includes a little shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. I'm going to do it in my Stephen Miller voice.
Oh, no.
Well, Eric, I might want to separate your children, but they'll get baby formula.
Okay, that really hurts my throat.
Imagine how he feels.
Well, Benjamin, you and El Dunarino are going to get separated at the border, and Dan R., I'm going to raise your taxes, and Sam I am. Mindy Mays, Kippa, we're both Jewish, so we're okay, unless you're an anti-Zionist. Gender, Just yours, sis, too, sis. You don't look like you need baby formula. Cattle decaf. I like extra shots in my espresso.
I'm already losing the voice.
Rob of MP Rob, oh my God. Now I'm Harvey Firestein. You don't like tacos and Lando Dangs. Oh boy. LaCroix, Corey and Scotty H. Doug Pigman. Douglas, who are you, Levison? And hey guys, it's Josh.
That's our show. Thank you for tuning in.
RIP this week actually just stands for rest in peace.
Oh, rest in peace, Trevor. We love you.
Not doing it.
All right.
Good stuff.
I laughed out loud quite a lot.
How long do we want to break for before doing the funk